in dependence upon Thee, Lord, for all needed help. I venture this afternoon to draw your prayerful attention to Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. It is nigh at hand. We know very little concerning the prophet Joel, but this we do know: he was raised up of God to bring to the people in those days, and to the church to the end of time, the word of God. It is considered that he prophesied about the time when the 10 tribes were taken into captivity, either before or soon after, when there was much idolatry in the land, whether in the 10 tribes, and sadly too in the tribe of Judah and in Jerusalem. It's a prophecy of solemn warning, but it's a prophecy of gracious encouragement. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. What a heavy responsibility rests upon us that are older. The word of God says, tell it to the generation following. Oh, may we be helped to speak to those that are young, and speak of God and of his majesty, holiness, and yet of his salvation. It is a word of warning. And he says here in the words of our text, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Just one more word and we come more direct to the text itself. Is an exhortation to repentance, to confession of sin. I believe if there was more repentance found in our churches, in myself personally, there'd be more spiritual prosperity. Repentance is so looked down upon, so despised today. My friend, the tears of sorrow, a broken heart, and a contrite spirit are the preparation for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. How earnestly do we pray for it. And though, as in this prophecy, we have the solemn judgment of God poured forth, and God's judgments not only are done by earthquakes and fires, but also by insects. Here is a plague of locusts with their utter destruction. What was, as before that plague, a garden of Eden, now is a waste, howling wilderness. In those days, and I think still in these days, nothing can stop a plague of locusts. They come combined in strength. They march, as it were, forward. And where there's been a plenty, now there is a waste, howling wilderness, as it were. God's solemn judgments. But sad was the state of the land, that even there was not that which was enough to provide for the temple worship in the meat and drink offerings because of the plague of locusts. Yet God here exhorts the people to come, to turn to Him, to repent of their sin, and He then promises that He will restore, that He will revive, that He will do great things in the land. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. The floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. We come now to examine these words as we may be helped. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. We have read in your hearing that in the wilderness journey that the priests were to blow the trumpets on various occasions. And sometimes it was to call an assembly. Sometimes it was to prepare the people for a journey. Sometimes it was to call them to battle. Sometimes it was a sound of a warning. And so, as we think of the trumpet, it is an instrument that whilst it can give a wavering note, but it's a very clear note, it's a very distinct note. And it reminds us of God's holy word, especially in the warnings of it. It also brings before us the gospel trumpet, the good news of salvation, of which we may be helped, I trust, to speak as we venture on in our meditation this afternoon. First, I would think of the word of warning. Warning. Right before Sinai, right in the early days of the history of this world, God gave a warning, a very solemn warning. It was prior to the flood. I just turned it that I might get my detail exactly in as what I'm setting before you. You remember Methuselah was the oldest man, as recorded in the Word of God, who lived for 969 years. And we read, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. And he died. There's an appointed end. But here was a warning. The name Methuselah means when he is gone, when he dies, it, God's judgment, would come. That warning was for 969 years. Methuselah, lived and his first son was Lamech, and Lamech was 182 years and begat a son, and his son was Noah. Methuselah was 187 when Lamech was born, and Lamech was 182 when Noah was born. So Methuselah was 369 years old when Noah was born. And Noah, who was moved by fear and by faith, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. And in the 600th year, the flood came. A solemn warning to mankind. And say today, where's the promise of his coming? Things have always been the same and ever will be. My friend, God's warnings will be ever fulfilled. And we need to sound the trumpet, the warning sound. Again, reminding us of the warning sound at Sinai, when the voice of God was as a trumpet that grew louder and louder, the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments, and the soul that sinneth it, it shall die. Oh, the solemnity of it. Oh, the holiness and majesty of God. Oh, the word that declares, be sure, your sin will find you out. There's no hiding from God. There's no way whereby sin can be pardoned except by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot wash away our sin as we wash away the filth of the body, literally. My dear friends, our good deeds will not make an atonement for our sin. And an eternity in hell will not make an atonement for one of the smallest sins of our life. Such is the holiness and majesty and justice of Almighty God. And this must be sounded forth. This warning must go forth. And I turn now to a word in Ezekiel, which is a very solemn word. Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, that is particularly the minister of the gospel, if when he seeth the sword come up upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. However, if the watchman, and this makes me tremble, if the watchman fail to sound the warning and men are lost, their blood shall be upon the watchman's head. Oh, for grace in the ministry, not to grace to be given, that we may not shun to declare the whole counsel of God, that we may be pure of the blood of all men. And my friend, if you are spiritually healthy and quickened by the Spirit, you will not reject or rise up in anger inwardly or even outwardly against a searching ministry, against a warning note. My dear friends, as we journey about in our travels, we have many signs of warning notes. On the road, for example, the red light, for example, that warns us of danger and peril. How foolish we would be if we ignored it. If we'd be thankful for it, take heed to it, that our life is preserved and we are preserved from harm and danger at the same time. So blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound forth the word of solemn warning to the dear people of God. Warn them of their state, born into this world, shapen in sin and in iniquity, and that we have no means whereby we can make an atonement for our sin. Warn them of what it is, that there's a day approaching when we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Then, oh my God, prepare my soul for that great day. Oh, wash me in thy precious blood and take my sins away. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. And oh, beloved friends, the warnings that we need to sound forth in these days, the turning aside from the old paths, a modernized religion. My friend, I say, seek, my dear young people, seek grace to stand in the old paths. Seek grace to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered unto the saints. We warn of your lost state. We've warned that you by nature, and I myself born just like you, dead in trespasses and sin, far off from God, perishing and lost. But, oh, when that gospel trumpet is sounded, we may come to that in a moment or two, with the power of heaven and the awakening influence. And my friend, a sinner is brought out of that state of darkness into light. Oh, what a mercy that is sound, the trumpet in Zion. Oh, warn against the evils that abound on every hand, the departure from God's holy word. It seems that this land has turned from and opposed the word of God in Parliament. And right through the land, the word of God is despised and set at naught. But my friends, cleave to the truth, hold fast to the word, pray grace to walk it out, and may it speak to our hearts by warning and yet encouragement to press on, to look up alone unto our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, for guidance. It's a warning. And so, again, and I'm just reminded of an incident that I read. Of course, it was ever so many years ago. It was in Russia, where there was a rising of people in rebellion against authority. And they gained tremendous power. And they, in fact, captured quite a number of men and slew them. And then they planned a plan to capture a city, and they took the clothes of these of the other people and pretended they were them and would march to the city, but they spared the life of a drummer, so that when they would approach the city, the drummer would sound the victory sound, and they'd open the gates and let them in. And of course, the inhabitants of the land think it's their own people. And that was their plan. That was their purpose. And the drummer, as they approach the city, just as they get near, and they're just about throwing the gates down, turn the victory sound into the warning notes, and they immediately close the gates. Of course, the drummer lost his life. The warning sound was given, my friend. Oh, I thought, I can't say anything spiritually about it at all, but I thought, what a noble man, what a noble drummer that man was. And my friends, we would be prepared. Only as God gives us grace, we would be. We're cowards, I am. I couldn't stand it, couldn't think of it. But I know God does give grace and strength to his people, to his servants, to be bold, to be strong, to be full of courage, and to go forth fearing nothing, though we're full of fears. And my friend, we in the ministry need much grace to preach the truth in love, and that's vital, but also in his warning notes, and that we may not shun to declare those things that are to be a warning and a guide and a guard to us from the very appearance of evil. Whom we preach, warning every man, says the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church at Colossae. Sound the trumpet in Zion. I have not the ability to speak of the state of the land as some have. But my friend, we tremble over our land. I mean, I'm an old man now. And I never would ever have contemplated that I should live to see this land sunk in such wretchedness and filth as it is today. Don't misunderstand me. I pray earnestly for our country. I thank God for our country. I thank God for our liberty still preserved. But we see it fast being eroded. And I fear for our religious liberty. I fear that ere long it may well be there'll be religious persecution rising up. And my friend, we would prepare the coming generation. Pray, and not to frighten them, but to encourage them to say, that they may be helped by God's grace to stand firm, to hold fast, not to turn aside from the word and the truth of God, but to cling to the truth. So, beloved, we sound the warning. And when you think of the state of home life today, you think of the filth, and we know very little of it, thank God for that, that is abroad in the land today. The drug thing, I won't enlarge. It is too sad. It is terribly distressing. But there's still in this land, there are those who sigh and cry because of the abominations done in the land. And if the 10 souls praying in cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, those cities would be spared. I fear, and I speak this not as a prophet, I'm no prophet, but I fear that wall of fire, protection by God around this land that was noted and was observed, was manifest in the last great war, when, for example, troops were fleeing from Europe, or when the English Channel was like a pond, though not a ripple on the water. Why? God heard the prayers rising up to him from this land, from the king, right down, and churches were filled. Those that had not gone to war, but the people flocked into the churches. Much prayer was made. Now it's despised. There's no call for prayer. Oh, my friend, but I say, blow the trumpet in Zion. Let those who fear God awake. Go mightily in prayer. Wield the sword of prayer. Cry unto God for his mercy. Pray yet that the Lord will stem the torrent of iniquity. And what about the churches? I speak, when I say churches, I'm speaking in the broadest sense. Anything that professes the name of a church. And we'd be shocked if we could see what went on in many of those churches. We'd be appalled at it. And the power of Rome gaining ascendancy, and of all these evil religions and so forth, and what and where in former days, in the days of my youth, there were places where the authorized version was read and there was worship. But now, oh my friends, what are we coming to? I say, is it depressing to you? I'm sounding the trumpet to you, dear young people. You may feel, you're old-fashioned. You want to modernize. You want to introduce this. You want to bring that in. You want to gather the people in at any cost. My friend, gather the people in on your knees, begging of the Lord by his Spirit that he will walk and gather them in one by one. And that brings you to this word, the gospel trumpet in Isaiah shall be blown, and they shall be gathered one by one. That's what we pray for. That's what we look for. That's what we anticipate. That's what we hope for. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain, and let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Very little trembling today. Well, I believe we know what it is, those who fear God, to tremble at the word of God, and tremble, and yet rejoice, tremble at his judgments, rejoice in his mercy. The trumpet, it sounded a sound of a warning, of peril, of danger. Why, if you had a bottle that's got poison on it, you'd be thankful for it that it's got that. Well, say, you wouldn't be thankful for the bottle, but I mean thankful for the warning on it. Or if it has a warning that it would do you harm, my friend, how thankful we are. You wouldn't scratch it off and say, well, I'm not going to take any notice of it. My friends, we need, and you, dear young people, you may find it hard to knuckle under, if I may use that expression, I speak reverently, discipline in your home. Don't despise it. I thank God for my father and mother, who sacrificed much in bringing me up and manifested their love, but they corrected me. I didn't like it always. I thank God for their discipline now as much as I do for their love. My friend, it is a great help to you in later in life. You'll be thankful for it. I know when you get into the teenage, you're getting freer, you want to go your own way, you want to make your own path, right to a point. But don't neglect the old people. Keep ears open to hear words of gracious advice and counsel. Here's my authority, and I hadn't thought of that when I quoted it before. When it says, "Hear ye this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. May grace be given to us. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion." But also the trumpet was to be blown for the gathering of battle and of war. If the trumpet sounds some uncertain sound, who will prepare himself a battle? My friend, the battle we have is against Satan, is against the world. Now don't misunderstand that. We say to do good to all men. We would see to pray for those that despitefully use us. Pray that their hearts may be broken and brought down as guilty sinners to the throne of grace. Pray that they might be led to know the love of Christ. But the world and all its evil, its so-called pleasures. Now don't misunderstand me, you dear young people. You want physical exercise. There are those things perfectly lawful that you should enjoy and promote health and strength. God has given many provisions in this way. But shun all that you cannot ask God to bless. A minister of the gospel was once asked to a home, and they enter a house, and they said, "Oh, let's have a game of cards." And the minister said, "Well, we must pray first." "Pray, we can't do that." He says, "Well, then we can't have cards, can we?" Good word, friend. If you get your company, am I speaking severely? I'm not speaking severely. I'm speaking in love. And you're unhappy about it, try and get away from it. It's only gradually it's going to drag you into trouble. Shun it. You may suffer for it, but God will stand by you. You may say, "I'm afraid I should be laughed at, sneered at for being a goody-goody." That doesn't matter at all. I know it hurts. I know it's not easy. But pray for grace. Dare to stand alone. Dare to say the Bible's true. And dare to make it known. You'll go forth into a battle. And you say, "Well, who can battle? I'm a poor thing." Yes, you are. And mercifully to hear you say that. But my friend, God uses the poor things of this world and those rich in faith that he will use to do great things, because he dwells in them and uses them and is with them. And so you think of Jericho, that great city with the walls round it, and the Israelites going round it once every day for 6 days, and then the seventh day the trumpet sounded, and the people probably from those walls looking to, what are they doing? Mystified, baffled with it, as though they thought they were impregnable, though they were filled with fear. Mark that, because Rahab tells us that. But you see, on the seventh day, and what happened to those walls? Down they went at the sound of the trumpet. And down were the walls of your heart, opposed to God, opposed to grace, opposed to the work of the Spirit. When the trumpet sounds and the power of God comes, down will come those walls of opposition. What a mercy it is. May it be so. My dear friends, pray much for this. Sound the trumpet in Zion. And again, I thought of Gideon, when he was bidden to go forth, and his army reduced right down from thousands, just to 300 men. And what are they going to take? They're going to take pitchers and a trumpet, and the lamp, and the light, and the trumpet. And go. And what are they against this host of the enemy in the dark valley? Ah, oh, but God is there, my dear friends. I mustn't go back on on Gideon's life. It's wonderful how God said to Gideon, "Go down into that camp and God ordered that man's steps. They stood outside that one tent. There were hundreds of tents. And doubtless they were all being asleep, but that man at that moment had woken from a dream. And he was telling the dream and gave the interpretation, and he didn't do it. This is God. We will go forth, a man of fear, the man that also trembled, the man that wanted the fleece wet and the fleece dry and so forth. The man that said, I'm the least of all my brethren, but strengthened by man, by God's power, he worshipped. And he said, we'll go forward. The victory is sure. My friend, there are times when God's children are strengthened by faith and able to go forth. Indeed we are. And so, as they break the pitches, the light shone, and the trumpet sounded, that, oh, my friend, the enemy were put to rout, and the light of the glorious gospel, the glorious word proclaimed, and, my friend, the powers of Satan and evil and sin overcome. Sound that trumpet in Zion. And then again, I want to come now to the gospel trumpet. This is the good news. This is the trumpet, my friend, that you love to hear, isn't it? Now, wait a minute. What are your reactions now? Do you say, yes, well, we've had quite enough of that warning. I hope you haven't rejected it. It'd be a mark in your faith if you receive it. I swear, because what I've said, I've spoken with no uncertain. I know I'm no gifted minister, I mean that, but I believe I've spoken clearly, reasonably clearly. Don't reject it, don't resent it, but look, it prepare you for the gospel. And what is the gospel trumpet? Oh, my friends, the good news of salvation. That which was proclaimed at the birth of Christ, when the angel spake to the shepherds. Fear not, for I bring unto you good tidings, which shall be of great joy unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. The gospel trumpet, the good tidings of heaven. Yes, it wasn't, don't misunderstand me, it wasn't until then that those tidings were sounded. You read through the Old Testament, you read through some of the prophecies, there were here and there the glimpses of the sounding forth of the gospel trumpet to proclaim of the coming of the Messiah, the coming of this dear Lord Jesus. But as he came, oh my friend, and what a sounding it is. Why, I think of those wonderful words that the apostle wrote to Timothy. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know, in Africa, the minister read that for his text. And there was a dear old African Christian there had been converted, and he said, oh master, and it wasn't irreverent, I know it not be done in a normal way, and yet I felt the poor man, he was so blessed with the grace of God. He said, sir, read it again, it does my heart good. Now what do you say, poor sinner? Is this the story? Tell me the old story of Jesus and his love. Is that the gospel? It is the gospel. This man receiveth sinners. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This is the gospel trumpet. Oh, Jesus came not to save the righteous, but call sinners to repentance, that the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome at the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Is not this the trumpet that you love? Isn't it this you say? Oh, hark how the gospel trumpet sounds. What does the hymn say? Let me turn to it that I might quote it correctly. How the gospel trumpet sounds. Christ and free grace therein abounds. Free grace to such as sinners be. Well, if it's sinners, there's room for me, isn't there? Oh, friend, it's wonderful when the Lord brings you in, draws you in. You say, well, that I'm a sinner. And if free grace, why not for me? The Saviour died and by his blood brought rebel sinners home to God. He died to set the captives free. And why my soul? Why not? And I tell you this, this is sweet, this gospel. One of the things that held me back from baptism was I thought, how could I take part in the communion service? How could my sin-polluted lips literally touch that cup? I know literally, how could I do it? Oh, I thought I couldn't do it. I was so sinful, so vile, so filthy. But my pastor, not knowing anything about this, said one evening, it was for me too, I should never forget it. There was a woman, a gracious woman at communion, I should think in Scotland it may have been, doesn't matter, well known to the pastor, but she was in spiritual darkness. A gracious soul, mark that. She took the bread, and when the elder handed the cup, she shook her head. Poor woman. The minister, knowing well the case, got up, took the cup out of the hand of the elder, and put it in the hand of the woman, and said, "Woman, it's for sinners." The barrier was gone. My friend, that was the gospel trumpet to my soul. Yes. Wonderful, isn't it? And then again, come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't that a gospel? Isn't that good news of salvation from a far country? Isn't it that which does your heart good? Isn't it that warms your heart? Isn't it that which attracts you? What about you, dear young people, you dear seekers, you that perhaps feel, you see the old people, and you think of their walk, and you say, I don't know, I don't know, I, and yet I long to be with them. I do hope I'm one of them. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought, do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Oh, my dear young friend, plead, pray for the ear to hear and the heart to receive and to embrace this glorious gospel and to know it. And tell me, is there a crumb that's come from the master's table? Has there been some little portion for your poor soul? And you say, nobody knows it. Father and mother don't know it. My dear one doesn't know it. My brother doesn't know it. My sister doesn't know it. It's mine, but I tremble, and the Satan wants to take it away from me, but I cling to it. I can't let that go. I hope in his mercy. I plead for mercy. I come to Jesus. I don't know how to pray, but I ask him to save me. I ask him to help me. I ask him to take care of me. I ask him to break down the sin in me and make me thine and leave me not. How can I bear the piercing thought? What if my name should be left out when thou for them should call? Oh, my dear young friend, plead on, pray on. There's some good thing in your heart toward the Lord God of Israel. Blow ye the grosser trumpet, the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is at hand. This glorious gospel. But just one more thought I must leave. I fear it's been a rambling. I've lost the sense of my preparation, but I hope it's been a word this afternoon. But there's yet one final trumpet to be sounded, and that will be from heaven, when the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, what a prospect that will be. And my friend, at the day of the Lord, as it hears it, the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Let me read to you the exact scripture of the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church at Corinth. He said, "Behold, I show a mystery. We shall not all sleep." That is, will be some living when Christ comes on the for his people, the second coming. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the final trumpet, and the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? What is it that gives the sting to death? Unpardoned sin. What it makes you children, young people, perhaps apprehensive of a wasp? It's got a sting. If it hadn't got a sting, you wouldn't worry much about all this buzzing noise. My friend, do you think about the sting of death, unpardoned sin? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the Lord. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that victory is the blood of Christ. That's the gospel tidings. That's the finished work of Christ. That's the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. That's the blood that cleanses from all sin. That's the song of the glory Lamb, yet to be unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. My friends, the days of Solomon, don't despair, beloved. Look, lift up your eyes, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. The king will soon come, and thy people, O God, shall be gathered to be with thee forever and ever. May we be numbered among them. Amen.